Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D.
Not really.
Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday.
Friday, I'm in the...
It's White Friday. White Friday, White Friday, White Friday, White Friday.
I don't think you should pump your fist in the air when you say that.
But I'm
that.
Excited about it.
Wait, what's White Friday?
I don't know. I think Nate made it up, but it sounds vaguely racially threatening.
I did. Well, no. It's just that there's snow in December, and it's the first Friday in December.
Oh, White Friday.
Yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Racism, son.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see. Hey, Diana Hong's back with us.
Yeah.
I was wondering who that was.
Thanks for sitting in for Christiana again. Appreciate it. Coming up on the show today, Ron Burgundy is everywhere. Is it too much? Ethan Hawke talks about monogamy. And we'll talk about Dirty Girls. And comedy.
Together? I wonder,
yes. I wonder if we can get anybody on the panel with opinions on that.
I'm for it. Wait, I don't know what we're talking about. Is this a plug for Diana's next gig? Is that what we're talking about?
It might be.
Oh.
Which will be on December 8th and December 15th.
December 8th is the day...
Sunday, Momo Lounge. And then the 15th is that Punchline.
December 8th is the day John Lennon was shot.
Oh.
It was also
Jeez, I can't believe you're doing something on that day.
Well, so you can come to the show and have a good time and not be sad. And we will remember his... Who's John Lennon?
Oh, no. Too soon.
Just kidding.
You should know he married an Asian chick. God.
Not my people. Wrong one.
Ted,
come on.
I'm sorry.
Be that way. It's also what I like to call Nate's Not Dead Day because I got hit by a car while changing a tire on December 8th, 2000.
You got hit by a car?
I got hit by a car. I'll tell that story when we get closer to that.
Now, I'm so curious.
I'm going to listen to this show.
It was a long time ago. It was about dusk, and I was me and my first ex-wife were driving to my parents' house, and had a bunch of gifts wrapped in the back of the car, and car started handling weird, and we got outside of Alberg, Vermont, which is a little podunk town, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and the left front tire was flat, and we had just passed this little homey garage type thing, and I saw there were some people there. So I sent her back. I said, go and see if anybody there can patch a tire while I take the tire off. So I get the spare out of the trunk and the whole thing, and there's oncoming traffic, and it's dusky. So I have the door of my car open as well as my four-way flashers on because I'm going to be right next to the front of the car. The travel lane. So I'm like, if the door is open, there's no way no one's going to see me. And there's traffic going by. There's a big dump truck. There's a tractor trailer that went by at one point. No problem. And just as I finished putting the spare tire on the car, I stand up and I look and I realize, I have this realization as soon as I stand up facing back toward traffic, that this car is going to hit the door of my car. And it did. It hit the door. She hit the door of my car. And it bent it around, and I was... You ever have a bar of soap in the shower, and you squeeze it, and it squirts out of your hand?
Yeah.
That happened to me, except it was the door of my car and the fender of my car that came around, and I went over the hood of my car, like arcing backward, and I landed on my back in front of the car.
Holy crap, dude.
And... as I was going through, it was all happened in slow motion because as I stood up, I was just like, oh, crap. It's literally.
You stood up. You just got up.
As I was standing. No.
Before
I got hit, I stood up from that and I looked and it was just in slow motion. I'm like, oh, crap.
Oh, no.
And my body just went limp and it went over the thing. And as I was arcing through the air, I saw the woman hit her brake lights about 40 feet past me.
Oh,
Jesus.
So long after she hit the car. And I was on the side of the road, and I did this thing, and I knew that I shouldn't move right away. So I did this whole mental checklist. I'm like, okay, does anything hurt? And I could hear my wife at the time screaming.
Yeah.
Because she saw the whole thing. She was on her way back. So I'm going through this mental checklist. I'm like, can I feel everything? Yes, I can feel everything. Can feel my fingertips. I can wiggle my fingers. I can wiggle my toes. And then I went, does anything hurt? And I was like, eh, something feels a little bruised here, feels a little bruised there. And just as I was about ready to go, all right, I'm good, I'm going to get up, the people that were at this little garage were like volunteer firefighters and ambulance people.
Oh, wow.
They were there on top of me, like, don't move.
Wow.
And I had a bruise on my hip and a bruise on my arm and a piece of glass in my cheek. And that was it. That was it.
Wow.
And when they brought me into the hospital in St. Albans, Vermont, they're like, because they brought me in and I'm like awake and I'm talking to people and whatever. And they're like, wait a minute. Was there somebody else? And I'm like, no, I'm it. They're like, well, you were hit by a car on Route 2? And I go, yeah, that was me. And they're like, oh, God, we were expecting much worse.
Sorry to disappoint you guys.
And then the following Monday, I go into work, and one of my coworkers is on that same ambulance squad, and he was an older gentleman, and he goes, this is the exact quote, you're the first person to get hit on that stretch of road and live.
Nice.
So that is how Nate's Not Dead Day exists, and that's December 8th. And I remember it because it's the same day that John Lennon was shot and killed, 20 years apart.
So it was like the door saved you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's why I did it, because it would make it more visible. And there were, but that's the story. Basically, it could have been horrific. I mean, I could have very easily been killed, and I essentially walked away with a little piece of glass in my face that they took out and put a Band-Aid on, and a bruise that was healed in 3 days.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's the story.
Did you feel like, oh my gosh, I almost died, I'm going to reevaluate my life? Or did you feel like, no big deal?
No, I did. I absolutely did. And
wait, which one?
I absolutely reevaluated how I approached life.
Mm. Because,
and that sort of led to my first divorce.
Oh, so
basically I went through and I was like, okay, I need to change how things are going, because I felt like I was going through life, going through the paces.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people do that, whether you realize it or not. You just get into your routine or your rut, and you do this and you do this, and you don't find any passion or any joy because you're going through the grind of life. You're going through the paces of everything. And I decided that I wasn't going to do that anymore. And I was hoping that I would be joined on that journey, but I was not. And that's kind of how there were other extenuating circumstances.
Sure.
But it was, I need to change the way I'm living my life, because I'm not really living my life. I'm just going through the motions of everything.
Yeah.
I hear you, Renegade.
And you know, hopefully people don't have to have such a giant sign that they should be reevaluating how they're going through their life. But sometimes you do. And, you know, other people just do it as a matter of course. They go, I'm not really happy doing this. I want to do something else. And I mean, sort of like what you were talking about, Ted.
I guess Becca kind of did the same thing. Right. Sorry, well, I didn't drag into it.
No, I would do that all the time. I haven't been hit by a car, but like there's lots of times that reassess. I'm like, yeah, like, all right, redo, reboot.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. It's a good, yeah, you know, I advocate it so far. Haven't found what I'm doing next, but I'm glad to have at least freed myself of that little saddle.
And sometimes it's the job you're doing. Sometimes it's just the way you're going through life. And I mean, it just gets so easy to get into that rut of you get up in the morning and you go to work and you do your job. And then you go home and you sit there and you with your partner and you watch TV or do whatever you do. And then you do the same thing again the next day and nothing ever changes. And there's no
evolution.
Yeah. Yeah. You just you just sort of exist. You're a cog in the wheel. You're a plug on the matrix. It's, you know, it's
a brick in the wall.
Another brick in the wall.
Are you a Matrix fan?
I enjoyed the first movie because it was kind of a mind fuck.
I really love those. Well, I love the first two, as Becca knows.
Ted loves those movies.
Yeah, I like the, I don't know, just like techno spirituality to me in some ways, but I may be reading, or actually I'm not reading too much into it. Anyway, I love those movies.
And as a huge Keanu Reeves fan, I enjoy them. I like Keanu Reeves.
Okay, I'd like it despite Keanu Reeves.
I'm not saying he's a great actor. I'm just saying I like Keanu Reeves.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, I understand that. I like Drew Barrymore, and I'm not saying she's a great actress.
I would totally do Drew Barrymore.
How about
Keanu
Reeves?
She's fantastic.
Probably not.
So we lost Paul Walker this past weekend of Fast and the Furious fame, killed in a fiery car crash. The sad thing is, family and friends he leaves behind, including a young daughter. It happened right after he was leaving an event to raise money for the Philippines for typhoon relief. So by all accounts, a very good guy, not a great actor. Let's not get carried away with that. But most famous for the Fast and the Furious movies. They were filming Fast 7. So there are 6 of them.
Okay, between all of us, how many of the Fast and Furious movies have we seen? I've seen 0.
0.
I've seen, maybe 4 or 5.
Of the movies or those 4
like
and
number
5?
Number 4 and number 5?
No, 4 of the movies.
Oh, okay.
I've seen 5. I have not seen Fast 6 yet.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on my list. Fast 6 on my list. They were doing Fast 7. They were on a break for Thanksgiving when this happened.
Now, is it the same cast of characters
basically,
each
yes.
time?
Pretty
and they're
much.
Just like... We need more cars, and
not that this is a super story driven thing.
right. Let's go into the story.
Are they car thieves? Is that the gist?
No, not really.
Never mind. This is going to be super boring listening for everyone who's seen 6 movies of it. Yeah. I'll just look it up on Wikipedia later, you guys.
Yeah, I mean they change, they've evolved, they've sort of mostly they change location and how they're doing things. But Paul Walker plays started out as an undercover. Undercover cop trying to break this street racing circuit. So and it sort of evolved from there, and it's where Vin Diesel got famous, and The Rock joined the cast a couple of movies
and
ago.
And Little Chris did a guest appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I fell in love with Michelle Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Rodriguez.
And Jordana Brewster, she's pretty too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a cast of pretty people in fast cars. That's basically what the movie is about.
It's eye candy. The movies are eye candy, really. He was all the first movie that anybody would have remembered seeing him in really as a star would have been Varsity Blues. He was also in Pleasantville. He played Skip Martin in Pleasantville.
Oh, that's right.
Can I read the plot summary for one of them to see if Becca is interested? It's very short.
I'm guessing she won't be, but go
Fast
ahead.
Fast and the Furious movie?
Fast and Furious 6. Hobbs has Dom and Brian reassemble their crew in order to take down a mastermind who commands an organization of mercenary drivers across 12 countries. Payment, full pardons for them all.
Judaism, son.
Yeah.
What's a mercenary driver? Like
mercenary drivers across 12 countries.
Like someone who is paid to kill people with a car?
No. Someone who's a driver for hire.
Mercenary, for hire.
Mercenary is just somebody that does something for hire.
Oh, I was getting mercenary and assassin confused.
Oh.
You can be a mercenary assassin, true. But
right.
Yeah.
Like Deadpool, he's like the merc with the mouth, but he like, you know, he kills people. He doesn't drive. Well, maybe he drives.
He drives a submarine. Anyway.
That's true.
So are you interested, babe? Maybe.
Well, if we see it in D-Box.
I don't know if they're on Netflix or not, but you know what? Honestly, a Fast and Furious movie is worth watching. It's just mind candy, really.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
It's good fast to cars. It's good to look at. Fast 5 I think is probably the most beautiful movie to look at of the group.
I don't remember.
At least
so
far. That's the one that was in Brazil, I believe.
Oh.
Would you say they're violent?
Yeah, will his death
somewhat
end the franchise, or is he not that key of a person?
They'll find
a way to keep going.
He's very key to the thing, and they were apparently just days away from shooting some key scenes with him for Fast 7. So we'll see what they do with it. But I can't imagine they're going to end the series. It's a very lucrative series for the studio and for all the actors involved. But you know, they'll find a way to write it into the story, and they'll at least finish seven, whether they'll do eight or not, because that was already on the table. It's hard to say. So Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos had a big surprise for Charlie Rose on 60 Minutes. After their interview, he walked him into a mystery room at the Amazon offices and revealed a giant red butt plug. No. It was a secret R&D project, the Octocopter, drones that will fly packages directly to your doorstep in 30 minutes. It is an audacious plan. He says it requires more safety testing and FAA approvals, but he estimates that delivery by drone called Amazon Prime Air will be available to customers in as soon as 4 to 5 years. It's done by GPS coordinates. Basically, these drone copters, you can order something on Amazon, it has to weigh less than 5 pounds, will land in your backyard and drop off a package to you.
Finally.
Yeah, I know.
I have to wait
3 days.
3 days, yeah. Like a sucker.
Suck it, mailman.
What if you live in like an apartment complex, like where this is what I had like concerns about. This is, I found out when I was really young that Santa Claus didn't exist.
Wait, what? Oh, spoiler, everyone, to our listeners.
It was because like we lived in an apartment complex. We didn't have a fireplace.
You didn't have a chimney.
And then my parents were like, "Are you stupid? Like Santa Claus doesn't exist."
Whoa. Oh my gosh, I lived in a trailer and we had no like chimney or anything like that. And my parents were like, "He comes in through the window because he's magic." Like they made up like this whole elaborate route like to explain the lack of chimney.
Yeah. So what about these drones? Like if you live in an apartment complex, like what? Because you know sometimes you have to go out to like the store and like actually pick up the package.
I remember
but
that.
If they don't have a backyard or like, are they gonna leave it so people can steal your shit?
Maybe just go through the mail, or maybe you have to like flag it down with flares.
Like so, you have to be there. So is it gonna be like getting cable installed? Where like, hey, stay at your place from the hours of 8 a.m. to like 3 p.m.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, if they're estimating a 45-minute delivery time, then you would order it and go, oh, it'll be here in an hour. It'll be like a pizza delivery.
Right. You can't be ordering during your work time or something, unless you work from home.
Or you could have it delivered to work.
That's true, too. Oh.
I don't know why, but I find this idea terrifying. Like, I think it's so scary, but I'm like, why? I'm trying to put my finger on what is it, because obviously Amazon knows where you live, obviously Google Earth knows where you live, everybody knows where you live. Who cares if a little robot comes and drops off something with a parachute? But I'd like instinctively I hate the idea, and well, I can't figure it out. I do too.
It's like, I don't know, it's like ruining social interaction, social anything, like waiting. I don't know, it's just like making people stay at home and they don't have any excuse to leave.
Yay.
And like robots being too smart, and I've seen iRobot.
They're too smart. Yeah.
I've seen iRobot.
That's a scary documentary.
It is. Yeah,
it's the Apple story, right?
That's a black man that should not have had a Jewish connection, because that movie should never have been made.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't leave my people out of this.
Well, you control everything.
All right, we're in everything. Okay,
that's true.
Sorry about everything. That's bad, everyone, including Amazon drones. Maybe the word drone is what's throwing you because of drones.
You know, I would understand if you were a recent emigre from Pakistan or Afghanistan that having a drone flying to your doorstep would be a little scary. But, a little helicopter coming up with your Kindle Fire or whatever you've ordered, your red butt plug. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you order.
Yes, you do.
I do. I don't know. I don't know what you order. I know what is ordered. That's true.
Yeah.
So, and now is a good time to mention that between now and the next 4 or 5 years, you can still shop Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. Go to our website first, click the Shop Amazon tab this holiday season and all year round. It helps support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. In fact, if you're like, I don't like big companies like Amazon, this is a way to take some money out of their pocket and put it in the pocket of the little podcast that could.
Yeah, if you do enough orders, they won't be able to put those drones out for 6 years.
That's right. Well, it's hard to say. Wait, well, we'll order big things, too. Like, the drone isn't going to deliver Ted's cat litter. It's not going to happen.
No.
That's true. I'd order a lot of cat litter.
Yeah. I mean, who's buying a small bag of cat litter under 5 pounds?
Exactly.
I mean, gourmet cat litter. Imported from the mines of my, I don't know, Mine Rune or something. Yeah. Why a Mine Rune? That's not right. Anyway,
I don't know.
That's a question of our time.
But basically what the CEO of Amazon bet was, he bet Charlie Rose and the 60 Minutes people they couldn't guess what the surprise was, and that if anybody could, he would give them half of his fortune and fly them to Vegas so that they could blow it.
Wow. Why would you want to blow half of that at Vegas? All right. Sorry. I'm missing the point.
How would you? That's a lot of drugs and strippers and prostitutes.
Just put it all on black.
Always bet on black. How about that, Kanye? Call back to last show. No one puts it all on Jew.
Or you could just go see.
It's not a good color.
Celine Dion, like 300 nights in a row.
No, what you could do is you could have Celine Dion come to your room and do the show just for you.
Isn't Mariah Carey at Vegas now too? Or no?
She might be.
Penn and Teller are there entertaining.
Penn and Teller been there.
Yeah, that's what we should get Larry for his wedding present. Celine Dion coming to do a show for him.
Sure. You want to foot that bill?
Can you order it through Amazon?
With the Amazon man's money.
You know what I could do? We could get him a Celine Dion CD.
Ooh.
Do you think there's one he doesn't have?
It's hard to say. I mean, you can always have more.
Yeah, just put glitter on it.
True.
And a unicorn horn.
True. You know what you could do? We could write letters to Kesha and Celine Dion and have them do a duet for them.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh my God,
yes, please.
So inside.
Wait, I
she's on the outside, but she won't. We've intrigued.
I don't know. It's you know what? Let's take to Twitter. We'll take to Twitter after the show and figure it out.
My heart will go on. We are who we are. Mashup.
Oh my God! You just made my fucking day.
Aw, just the thought of it.
I think she just ruined my couch. That's how excited she is. My God.
Wow.
Got a little misty.
Speaking. Oh yeah, I wanted to mention this. Last week I saw The Delivery Man with Vince Vaughn.
Oh yeah.
How was that?
You know what? It actually was better than I was expecting.
Ooh.
It's a movie with heart.
I edited a review for it that was very negative.
Anything,
you know what?
Though.
They can eat it. They can go ahead and eat it. Whose review was it? Who reviewed it and gave it a bad?
Oh shoot! Well, you know I work for the Sacramento News and Review. Uh-huh. I'm trying to
figure
out.
Yes, it's right
out
there in their name.
I'm trying to figure out. We have two movie reviewers. I believe. See, I don't want to call up the wrong person because you're about to yell at them, but I believe it was Jim Lane who didn't appreciate it. And he does appreciate Vince Vaughn, but he thought the script was really lacking and had too many plot holes.
Jim Lane?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's on your hate list now.
Okay, Jim Lane.
maybe.
Let me just point out, first of all.
I sure hope it really was Jim. I'm not quite sure.
If it's not Jim, I'm going to apologize right now. Okay. Jim, this is meant for the other person if it wasn't you. Because you are a soulless monster.
Oh, no, he's a very nice
fellow. That seems fair.
Soulless monster.
Balanced.
Because this movie...
Really? You're going to go on record for Delivery Man?
For Delivery Man. I am. I'm going to put myself out there for Vince because he put himself out there for his 500 and some odd children.
Oh.
That's right.
It was him. I just looked it up on my phone.
All right.
It was Jim Lane?
Yeah.
All right, Jim Lane.
Who is a very nice man. I've met him.
Sure. That's what he'd have you believe.
Yeah. He had 2 stars out of 5 is what he gave it.
Ooh.
Well, that's not terrible.
Wait, what?
2 out of 5 stars is not good. Or like 1 star is really bad.
It's like the really sad, dejected, crushed up popcorn, but it's not the dead popcorn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about The Delivery Man. I will never say, oh my God, you have to go see Delivery Man. That is not a phrase I will ever utter. But what I will say is the movie was a lot more emotional than I thought it would be. It was a very sweet movie. And if you like Vince Vaughn and you like having emotions and you have a soul, you'll probably enjoy it.
2 out of 3?
Yeah, I have 2 out of 3 also.
You don't have a soul either, honey?
No, I don't care for Vince Vaughn that much. I loved him in Swingers, and then ever since then,
I liked him in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, Wedding Crashers.
That was a fun movie. I think I tried to show it to you once, but I think you fell asleep.
I think that Vince Vaughn, he often gets put in movies where they're just like, okay, be Vince Vaughn and we'll edit it later. And I think he's a person who can benefit from some scripting. You know, I don't think he's bad, but I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of times where they're just like, just go ham it up out there. And I don't know. He deserves better than that. He can do better than that.
He was also an old school. The thing about this movie is it's not ruined by Owen Wilson. So there's no Owen Wilson to be found anywhere. So that's one of the positive points. Mm. Bobby Moynihan from Saturday Night Live plays his brother.
Oh, I enjoy Bobby Moynihan.
One of his brothers.
Like him.
It, you know what? Like I said, I will never say you should go see The Delivery Man, but when it rolls out to Redbox, it's probably worth a rental. You might get a little misty in a couple of spots.
And if you don't, you're soulless.
You're soulless.
I love that.
You're a soulless hack.
According to this, it says Vince Vaughn is the only saving grace in this otherwise idiotic sperm donor comedy. So there you go. Vince Vaughn. Saving grace.
That's why people pay him to just be Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart were basically John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart. That's just the way it always used to be. And now we've got, we need to have Daniel Day-Lewis transform into something else. And
you're here.
You know what I say to that? Uh-huh. Screw Daniel Day-Lewis.
Well, the weird thing about that movie is that I read this in the review, that Delivery Man is a remake of a French film that won a whole bunch of awards, apparently. It was very popular. And this is apparently like a shot-for-shot remake for the most part. Like, it's very true to the script, but it just doesn't translate the same way, apparently, because people are saying that the script is the weak part.
Right. And that can happen a lot when you're changing languages. And
yay,
you're,
America.
Yeah, and you're going with that. But it's the same story arc that a lot of Vince Vaughn movies have, where he's a screw up, and then someone makes a point that he needs to be better, and then he makes an attempt to be better, and then he's somewhat better.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great movie, but I would say it's a two. I would give it a, if I had to give it a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it probably about a 6, 6.5.
Ooh.
It's an okay movie. Anyway, moving on from The Delivery Man, an Iowa restaurant owner says her business took a dramatic hit this fall after a customer's photo of a sweating barefoot worker made the rounds on Facebook. The incident illustrates how the proliferation of cell phone cameras and customers' use of social media can have a major impact on small businesses. Now, the records indicate that Melinda Halverson, who's 31, a team leader at the Charles City Taco John's restaurant, mowed the grass outside the franchise on August 8th. She then came into the restaurant's food preparation area, which is in full view of customers at the counter. Okay. One of those customers photographed Halverson with no shoes, gloves, or uniform as she prepared food for herself and two friends. The customer then posted the image to Facebook with the caption, "This is the Charles City, Iowa's Taco John's. This woman is preparing with food with bare feet, no uniform, her bra and chest hanging out all over the place.
Ooh.
She was pouring sweat, wiping it off with her hands and not washing them. I asked for the manager, and she was the manager. She was extremely rude because I was upset with her appearance."
I love the voice.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
Damn, Nate. What are you channeling there?
And her behavior. Within minutes, the photo was reposted by... I can't stop talking like that. Was reposted by others to the Taco John's Facebook page and to other sites, along with more negative comments. People are so negative. The next day, the franchise owner, Linda Johnson, reviewed security camera footage of the incident. Johnson then fired Halverson, saying her conduct, which included failure to pay for the food she made for herself and her friends, violated company policy and state health regulations. My guess is it was more that she didn't pay for it. By the time that customer's photo had gone viral, triggering a report on a local television station and more than 1,000 negative written comments about Taco John's and the Charles City franchise in particular. So, yeah.
I want to reiterate my concern expressed last show about people tweeting every little thing and it getting blown out of proportion and going on the news.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I mean, come on. Just get so mad about little tiny crappy things that don't even affect your little pathetic life.
By the way, I'm guessing that if this woman's sweat made it into your taco, that it's probably the best thing in the taco for you.
Oh.
Did the person take the picture and was like, all right, I'll still eat here, but I'm going to Facebook this picture later and complain about it?
Yeah. They don't make that clear. So. That's always the thing. It's like, I'm so angry.
Yeah, like I always picture that happening. Like they're a bitch about, but like, let me just finish this taco first.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll be outraged.
Look, I have the munchies. I'm gonna do this.
Has anyone ever been to a Taco John's?
No,
that doesn't exist here, right?
And I don't think so.
There are many taco things here, and Taco John's is not one of them.
There's probably a reason why.
I can't imagine what an Iowa taco is.
Oh man,
lots of corn. Hey, you remember the cop who bought the homeless man boots? It was a big thing in New York City. Well, he's been promoted. He's got
Cobbler.
He got bumped up to detective. He's He's 26 years old, Larry DiPrimo. He made headlines last November for stopping to help Jeffrey Hillman, who's 54 years old in Times Square, and buying him a pair of all-weather boots and thermal socks. He was promoted to detective in an afternoon ceremony at One Police Plaza. He said, "This is a dream come true. The shield is one of the most coveted shields, I think, in the country, maybe even the world. I look down, and it's still unreal to me." And that's the way I feel about my penis. Anyway, call back.
Awesome.
DiPrimo hasn't seen Hillman since his act of kindness, would still like to meet up with him. He said, "Hopefully I'll be able to meet him and see how he's doing. I'd shake his hand and ask him if he still wants to grab that coffee or some dinner." DiPrimo was transferred for patrol in the 6th Precinct to Queens Warrant Squad, where the nickname Boots still sticks. The name tag in my office says Larry Boots DiPrimo, Queens Warrant Squad. Though he gained a lot of recognition for his good deed, his father, also Larry DiPrimo, excuse me, had a cough there, was quick to point out that his son's charity wasn't the only reason he was boosted up to detective. Thank you for pointing that out. It's important to remember Larry is not becoming detective today because he's done something nice a year ago. His service record also speaks for itself, too. His proud father also said that despite his son's fame, he was just being a good person. He was arguably the most famous person in the world for 2 days. That is true. And it came down to Larry done something really nice for another person, and that was the bottom line. DiPrimo believes that even though he's no longer in the public eye, he still has impacted people in a positive way. You know, the attention has died down. I don't think the effects it had on people has ever stopped. I still will get what you did inspired me to do a great thing for another person. I think that's fantastic. Now, the hobo, Hillman, on the other hand, has been spotted as recently as March of this year, still shoeless, and having a sign on his back that reads "Homeless" while panhandling money in the streets of Manhattan, even though he lives in a Bronx apartment.
And even though he...
That was the other part that came out about that. This homeless guy is absolutely batshit crazy, has an apartment that is paid for, and spends his days in Manhattan panhandling. Shoeless, because he's nuts.
He has mental
issues. He knows how to work the system.
Or he has severe mental problems.
Oh, that too.
I'm sure he has severe mental problems too.
Or both.
Uh-huh.
No Jewish connections is really the problem. Am I right? Because of Jews.
Oh, so since we brought up crazy homeless people, I promised I would tell this story too, because I wasn't expecting to tell the hit by a car story. So this past Sunday, I went to do laundry, and the one washing machine here in my little apartment complex was sitting there one third full of water. So I'm like, crap, I got to go to the laundromat.
Oh, no.
I know. And so I go over to the laundromat that's near my apartment, and I throw my clothes in the washer, and then I go sit in my car for a while. I come back in when there's a few minutes left in the wash cycle, and I'm listening to something. I'm listening to a podcast on my phone with my earbuds, and I see an argument between a homeless African-American woman and another African-American woman who I don't think was homeless, but was just there folding her clothes. And I could hear it over the podcast, but I'm like, oh, let me listen to this. So I stopped it, and I heard a lot of yelling of the word bitch.
Oh.
Bitch, you don't know. Bitch, you don't know. And then I was like, get out of here, bitch. No, you get out of here, bitch. And
did they do my favorite? No, you're the bitch, bitch.
Yes.
Because that one's always fun.
It's like you were. It's like you were there.
You're the bitch, bitch. Zing.
So that happened. And then the attendant who works there, who is a Hispanic lady who is probably about 5'1", goes to this crazy homeless lady and says, "Excuse me, you need to leave."
Uh-oh.
Which led to much more yelling of the word bitch as the crazy homeless lady is stepping outside. And then the guy that's next door at the mini mart pops his head out, and then he starts yelling at the homeless lady. He's like, "You need to get out of here." She's like, "You can't tell me to get out of here. You get out of here, bitch." And he's
he's a bitch too?
He's like, "No, you get out of here." And she's like, "I'll call the cops. You don't have any right." And he goes, "I'm going to call the cops right now. You're a bitch." And it's this whole thing. Wow. And I'm like, I just need to do my laundry, people.
Wow.
Quit being a bitch, Nate.
Bitch.
Bitches be crazy.
Bitch. I was so distraught by this, Becca. I had to go and buy a new TV.
Oh.
Is that where that came from?
I immediately left the laundromat and bought myself a TV.
Consumerism, son.
No. It's true.
Retail therapy.
Yeah. It was. It made me feel
better. Did you go up to the cashier and was like, "Thanks, bitch"?
No, I went to Costco, not Walmart.
Whoa. And then you came home and watched reality TV shows where everyone calls each other bitch.
I watched the Niners game.
Oh, ooh. Nobody calls each other bitch in the Niners.
No.
Which is why I don't watch it.
Did you, Ted, did you see the highlight of how Vernon Davis, the tight end for the 49ers, was tackled?
No, but now I want to watch it.
He was tackled by his junk.
Oh, they crap by his junk.
Yeah, dragged to the ground by his member.
Oh.
Yes.
Which is Vernon.
Vernon Davis.
Is that a foul?
Well, no, but it should be.
How is that even possible?
I thought they made that new rule where you can't hit below, like,
hit the head.
That's a head.
Yes.
But basically, when he goes to wrap him up and he's trying to hang on, but it looked like Vernon Davis pulled his groin because he's starting to limp as he's going down, and the guy had such a stranglehold on poor Vernon's cock and balls that Vernon has the ball in one hand and reaches down with his free hand to pry this defensive back's hand off of his manhood.
Damn.
As he's going down, and then he rolled around in pain on the ground. You have to go and see this. It was all over ESPN.
Okay, let me tell you this. I just Googled Vernon Davis tackle. The first headline that comes up, 49ers tight end Vernon Davis calls on NFL to outlaw tackling by penis. That succinctly sums it up. Thank you, New York Daily News. I don't know if I need to watch that. I might feel too much pain, sympathetic.
It's one of those things. The first time you see it, it looks for all the world like, oh, he pulled the groin or something like that.
He didn't pull it. Someone else did.
The other guy pulled it.
Yeah.
So
that's not cool.
It is not. But yes, I did get to see that in full 1080 high definition, 120 hertz frame rate. Yeah,
that hurt.
Breaking in the TV.
It did. Yeah. So anyway. Speaking of breaking in the TV, the new Anchorman 2 movie coming out this Christmas, and Will Ferrell won't go away. He's turning up everywhere. In fact, he turned up in North Dakota, actually anchoring the news.
Giant retailers to browse around some in smaller
Bismarck.
Shops. Good evening. I'm Amber Schatz.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Thanks for joining us tonight.
If you shop big on Blom.
A Christmas tree lights up Main Street, Minot, enticing shoppers with sparkly and special incentives downtown.
Kelly Volk takes us to the all-day celebration up north.
So, yeah, though he did the whole 30-minute newscast as Ron Burgundy straight.
Yeah, pretty straight. There's like maybe one time when he kind of like leans into her camera shot or does something a little bit funny, but mostly he's just reading the news.
As Ron Burgundy. Also, there are, of course, the Dodge ads, and he showed up in Canada doing curling. He was commentating at a curling event in Canada.
And there's also an Anchorman exhibit at the Museum of News, like the National Museum of News or something with his blazers and everything. Museum, exactly. So they're opening that. There's a lot of Anchorman stuff right now.
And I want to see the movie, but I have this thing where if I get too much of something, if I get too exposed, I turn the corner and then I don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point where I'm just trying to avoid it as much as possible.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I sent you this Ron Burgundy story.
Becca, everybody put this on Facebook.
I just sent
literally
it to you.
Literally everybody I know put this on Facebook.
I'm about to put it on Facebook just to...
Me too.
Well, the thing is that I thought, oh my gosh, this will be hilarious. And then when I watched it, I was like, well, no, it's actually just pretty straight. Like, you know, not too silly, but I mean, maybe they didn't want to like make a mockery of the news, but then again, they had Ron Burgundy doing their news. So
I'm Ron Burgundy.
When is the movie coming out?
I believe the 22nd.
Gravy. He's like trying to do like the promo thing. Like,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
it's too much.
It's the same thing they did with the first movie, with the first movie, but it hadn't been out before, so it was kind of new and different. And he showed up on ESPN, and they did like ESPN anchor tests and that sort of thing. But I think it could be a little bit too much of you know, they want to get the word out as much as possible. And of course, people are talking about it. But how many people are you watching the tackle?
We are.
Yeah. Okay. He ran quite a distance with a man clinging to his penis. That's pretty impressive. It's really scat. I feel bad for his
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
is it okay for a guy to feel bad for another guy's wiener?
I think it's necessary, actually.
Okay. My roommate got, not Ray, but when I was living the same, my roommate got a kneed in the balls. And, like, I just stared at it, and I felt pain.
It's to explain it to any women who might be listening, it's not just because it's like, oh, well, yeah, it's sensitive. Our parts are sensitive, too, and they are. But, and I don't know what it's like to get hit in the vagina. I don't. But if you get hit in the balls, it is a pain that starts there and just radiates through the core of your body all the way up to the pit of your stomach. And the only thing that stops it really is your diaphragm. And you'd feel like you want to throw up, but you just can't do anything but curl up in a ball.
That's what my
in the fetal position.
My friend, he was really drunk, and so when he got hit, he just like went to his room and he just like curled up. And then you see him crawl into the kitchen, grab some Cheez-Its, and crawl back.
Oh no! What happened? Who? How did he hurt his ball? Someone kick him?
Yeah, someone kicked
him.
Why? I forgot.
Okay.
I forgot what happened. He pissed off one of our friends, and she was drunk too. But I don't think she realized what she was doing.
Yeah, you
and
better.
And next
not.
Thing you know, like. He just falls and he starts crying. And then like 10 minutes later, he grabs some Cheez-Its.
Oh.
And he goes in a fetal position in his room.
Cheez-Its clean. Make everything feel better.
It's true.
I guess.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa.
All right. First up in cooler tool, firing people. Firing people. Diana.
Cool.
Dead.
Firing people, I would think, is not cool unless they deserve it, which is lame. But anyway, yeah, that's not an answer. It's not. It's cool. Not cool to enjoy doing it. Let's say that.
Becca,
did I answer the question? I don't know.
Getting fired because of Twitter is not cool.
That I agree with.
Also known as tool.
Well, I'm going to answer for Donald Trump and say it's cool.
Ugh, he's a douche.
He is, but that's how he would feel about it. Up next in Cooler Tool, good Samaritans. Ted?
They're great. They're the coolest.
Becca?
Ditto. Good Samaritans. Can't argue.
Good anyone.
Diana?
It warms the icebox where my heart used to be.
All right. Oh. Let's see Nate go contrary and say good Samaritans are tools.
Damn foreigners with their goodliness.
Well, I don't think they exist anymore. I think Samaritans are actually an extinct race of people that were wiped off the earth. So anybody who is claiming to be a good Samaritan is merely an imposter of a wiped out race. So, yeah.
Posers.
Yeah, pretty much. And finally, in Cooler Tool, over-marketing. Becca.
Tool.
Ted.
Well, on behalf of the Nate Darling Show, I have this to say about over-marketing. The Nate Darling Show thinks it's tool. I don't know if I can speak for the whole Nate Darling Show.
Diana.
That was marketing.
Tool, but you can see me December 8th.
And shop Amazon.
Yeah, through NateDarlingShow.com. It's tool because, I mean, people are already excited. Don't ruin my excitement.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't ruin the excitement. Don't show me the monster before.
Wait, what are we talking about again?
Ron Gurgundy.
We're talking about Sharon Osbourne's vagina again.
Oh, that was our last show.
Tool.
Sorry. Well, that's what you put in it.
I
anyway,
see Godzilla.
Not anymore. It's too...
That's what they call Sharon Osbourne's vagina.
Godzilla.
It's true. It's terrible.
It's more streamlined Godzilla now that it's 2013. Isn't there a new Godzilla movie coming out?
Yeah, probably.
Wasn't there just a new Godzilla movie like a couple years ago?
I don't know.
I don't know anything.
Where's the pop culture people here? Where's Christiana?
Christiana knows everything.
Oh, well, she thinks she does.
Oh, snap.
It's true. It's not a lie. It's true. Anyway, someone who does know things, I don't know if they're true or not, but he knows them. Ethan Hawke says people have childish views of monogamy and fidelity. That's right. He and Uma Thurman divorced 9 years ago, and the 43-year-old actor has opened up about how they fell in love on the set of the film Gattaca. He said, it was a great moment in my life and a great moment in Uma Thurman's life, and we fell madly in love, and we wanted to do all that. He related to Mr. Porter's November 2013 issue of their past relationship. He said, we tried to be as optimistic as we could be. We all want to believe in love and the possibility of love. The pair, who were married for 6 years before divorcing in 2004, had two children together. He then went on to marry the couple's nanny. They also have two children together. He said, my relationship with my present wife is thrilling to me, and I'm committed to it. But neither she nor I know what shape the future will come in. Sexual fidelity can be the whole thing or you hang your relationship on. If you really love somebody, you want them to grow, but you don't get to define how that happens. They do. Hawk sees society's current views on monogamy and adultery is outdated. He said, quote, people have such a childish view of monogamy and fidelity. He's cheated, so he's bad. She's cheated, so she's bad, as opposed to a recognition that our species is not monogamous, he explained. To act all indignant that your world has been rocked because your lover wasn't faithful to you is a little bit like acting rocked that your hair went gray. Now you know why I didn't do this for Cooler Tool, because I'm pretty sure I know what I would get for answers. So does let me ask this question.
Well, why don't you let us do it?
Does Ethan Hawke have a point?
He's a dumbass.
All right, here's my thing. I think that, yes, not all marriages obviously can't last forever. As a divorced male, I can say that. But I think that the order of things should be try to work it out, then get the divorce, then go have sex with someone else. I think you have to control yourself a bit. But then, I don't know, may not have enough testosterone. Okay.
Well, here's my thing about it. I agree that society has a very, like, fairy tale, maybe childish view of monogamy or marriage.
So you agree with him.
But not in the way that he said it. That saying, like, what did that dumbass say something about?
What that dumbass say?
Because it's like, you know, he's bad, she's bad, whatever. But it's like, my view of cheating is like, if your partner's going to cheat, or they did cheat, it's because they're not getting something out of the relationship. And so either something's not working, you need to communicate about it. And you either find out that the person has either insecurity issues or you're not providing as a partner. And so, yeah, it happens. But to say that... I blocked him out because I just felt like I was losing brain cells.
Yeah, it's an interesting take, especially from someone who, I mean, he didn't even go to a new film set. He just hooked up with a nanny.
Yeah. Well,
that's like, just lazy.
How is he giving advice when he hooked up with the nanny?
Maybe the nanny.
That's like just a tool move.
Was the perfect match.
And then it's
match.
Like, hey, let me give you all this advice like I'm fucking Dr. Phil or some bullshit.
Yeah, I kind of get what he's saying, but yeah, I don't think that's the way you go about handling
Becca,
relationship
are you
problems.
Are you finding any truth in Ethan Hawke's words?
Yes and no. I don't know. I think I've mentioned on this show before that as much as you listen to the Adam Carolla podcast, I listen to Savage Love. I listen to Dan Savage every single week. And
okay.
He is, and he's fantastic, and he's very smart about a lot of things. And he is a big proponent for what he calls monogamish relationships. And his feeling is that monogamy is really very hard to sustain over a long period of time, and that most people are going to fail at it once or twice. And that if you're with someone for like 20 years and you fail at it once or twice, that you're actually pretty good at monogamy, all things considered. And he's always saying that, you know, if you have a relationship with someone over a really long period of time, that relationship is based on a lot of things and a shared home and shared experience and maybe raising children or different dreams, and that sexuality is probably only one part of that. And for that to sort of be like the customary deal breaker for people where they just feel like they have to throw everything away if one of the people in the relationship fails at monogamy, that's a shame, and that can be damaging to families. And I guess I've been listening to this point of view for, oh my God, how long have I been listening to Dan Savage or reading him? Like, I can't even remember when I wasn't. And so I find that all very logical and I get it. But that doesn't mean that I've in any way mastered it in my own love life and that I'm not terrified of those failures of monogamy on either person's part over time, and that situations in which that has occurred in my life haven't been like some of the hardest and most damaging situations. So I get what Ethan Hawke is saying, that we shouldn't demonize people for failing at monogamy, because it's really, really hard to do. And we never really know what's inside people's relationships when we're looking at them from the outside. But I also think it's really painful, and it's best. I don't know. It's complicated. It's very complicated.
Am I the only one that believes in true love? And
you're young still.
No, I believe in that.
I believe in it too.
I'm in a monogamous relationship that I hope that I'm always in. And, you know,
I don't agree that monogamy is. I agree that something's happening. You shouldn't. Yeah, you're right. Like the whole demonizing people and there's a word for that. But yeah, there you go. But I just, castrate. I don't know. I don't think it's actually that hard as long as you're adult and you communicate. I think communication is key. As long as you communicate, I really don't think it's that hard. Because then you'll get the thing. Like, if you tell your partner what you need and what you want.
Oh, is this some hard?
No, I go on.
It's background.
No, that's just my point. I still believe, I don't think monogamy is dead, and I still think it's like really possible and plausible. It's just, if it's a cop out to say that it's not. I think that's just being lazy.
I don't know. There was a time when I was younger when I was like, oh, maybe monogamy isn't even a thing that should exist in my life. And maybe that's like really limiting. And I tried to do things that were a little more open, where there was tons of communication and like, we're going to process everything and all our feelings and attractions for other people and blah, blah. And that was like totally painful and awful. Also, like, it was so hard. Like, I don't think that was my nature. At all. I believe in a big cold love, just a stirring of my heart. There's a chance we can make it now. We'll be looking for the sun yourself.
I believe in a big cold love. So, no, you're not the only one. The darkness does as well.
Oh, great, great. At least I have them on my side.
Yeah, I'm on your side as well.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Oh, no.
I think people who cheat when they're in committed relationships are irresponsible, lazy, and careless with their partner's feelings. Because if you've made a commitment to be in a relationship with somebody, that you should do that. And yes. They put that in the wedding vows, too. It's that the part where they say forsaking all others. As someone who's been married twice, I know it's in there. And I believe that that's what you have to do. I mean, if you're in that committed relationship where you say, it's you and me, it's just you and me, it should just be you and me. Not, oh, I got drunk at a party and decided to suck some dick.
No, I agree. Like, cheating and lying,
Bob,
are not okay. Cheating and lying are not okay. But so what do you do if you agree that you're going to be open and honest and monogamous with this person, and then at some point you reach a point where what is honest is that one or both of you doesn't want to be monogamous anymore?
Then you find someone else who shares that same viewpoint. I don't think it's, you know, like, that's your thing.
But if you both decide you don't want to be monogamous and you're okay with that, and you redefine your relationship as, yeah, I'm fine if you go out and have sex with other people, and and as long as you're fine if I go out and have sex with other people. Because then you both agreed to the parameters of the relationship. Where you run into a problem is when one person has one rules for themselves and the other person is thinking the rules are different. Because you're not playing the same game.
Like screwing the nanny.
Yeah.
Just to kind of, I don't know if this is what you meant at all, sweetheart. I'm thinking, I had a couple of friends who were married once upon a time, and I could tell just it wasn't the best relationship, and I felt like one of the partners was not as supportive in a lot of ways. It was not the best spouse in so many different ways. And the other one was trying very hard. And ultimately, he cheated on her, which was obviously a bad move. But who's the bad guy in that relationship? I think societally, he's the asshole because he cheated.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an asshole for cheating. But I guess there is, you know, two sides to that. I being infidel, you know, not being monogamous and not being faithful is very bad. But I guess that's the point. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. And it's, you know, it's not always, the point is it's not always the reason that a marriage goes bad, and it's not always just a one-sided thing. Oh, he ruined this relationship because he had sex with someone outside of marriage.
That's why I don't think cheating should be end-all, like, if that's the thing. But if you guys talk about what happened and why the person did it, and it turns out, like, oh, I'm just being a dick,
then
that's okay, this is over. But if it's like, you know, you're not paying attention, you weren't supporting me and all this shit, and they found emotional connections, there's a lot of things to it.
So it's complicated.
It is complicated.
Yeah.
But I don't think, like, I don't think it should be a cop. Like, I don't think it should just be, oh, monogamy's dead. Oh, okay, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's taking the easy way out. Oh, yeah. Well, monogamy's dead. So Or I have no willpower. I'm going to eat this whole cake.
Oh, we have cake? Oh, shit. Yeah. Sorry.
I was asking for s'mores.
Oh,
right.
Last episode.
It's Friday now. You still haven't had them.
All right. So moving on. People whose names start with E, Evan Rachel Wood tells the MPAA, and I quote, "Women don't just have to be fucked." That's right. Mm. She tweeted, "After seeing the new cut of hashtag Charlie Countryman, I would like to share my disappointment with the MPAA, who thought it was necessary to censor a woman's sexuality once again. The scene where the two main characters make love was altered because someone felt that seeing a man give a woman oral sex made people uncomfortable. But the scenes in which people are murdered by having their heads blown off remain intact and unaltered. Ooh. This is a symptom of a society that wants to shame women and put them down for enjoying sex, especially when, gasp, the man isn't getting off as well. It's hard for me to believe that had these roles been reversed, it still would have been cut."
She tweeted that?
She did. It was a whole series.
Okay.
I was going to say, that's not 150
characters. It's like a long-ass tweet.
It is.
And off topic, I know, but...
And they all got over 1,000 retweets and 1,100 favorites.
That's how you get retweeted and liked a lot. You just have multiple tweets in case anyone's looking for...
It also helps tweets. If... let's see, how many followers does she have? It helps if you have 188,000 followers.
Oh, that helps too. Fine.
Yeah. I mean, good point.
Yeah.
I'm all for seeing women get pleasured.
I think possibly if there was more of that in movies.
It's a best time cough.
I don't know. Maybe now in the days of easy access to internet porn, kids don't even try to figure out what to do from watching movies anymore. But in my day, you really, like, the sex scenes in movies were very instructional. And I think if there was more... You know, if it was more standard to show sort of the give and take of what actually goes on.
What do you mean? Give
between
and take?
Men and women. That might be helpful for a generation of kids trying to figure out what to do and what's important.
So women like the oral stuff. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that.
Okay. I've learned a lot today.
Well, I've not only have I read, but I understand that if you actually see someone performing oral sex on a woman and they're doing it really well, you're not really going to see a whole lot other than the back of their head.
Right. Right. Like, it's a pretty easy thing to simulate, I think, in a show, you know, without
showing anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Show the back of a head.
Yeah, I'm fully involved with it. I don't know that it's... I think it's a stretch to say it's about... disempowering women. I think that's where you lose the argument with a lot of people, is you start throwing it out there as being something bigger. I think it's more of a prudish thing than anything, is because, oh, we don't want to show that because blah blah blah, blah. I don't think it's about not giving women power. I think it's more about the people who do the MPAA. First of all, there's no basis for how they're doing the ratings. It's just a bunch of people who are like, oh no, I didn't get blah blah blah. I think that's whatever. And we've reached a point where sex will get you a harder rating than violence will. Always. Always. I mean, that's nothing new. So, you know, I'm all for it.
I think it is, like, not disempowering women. That's a strong word. But it does, because the whole, and she does have a point in my eyes about the whole, like, you know, seeing women as a certain image, like, not as sexualized. And that's just because chivalry and stuff, it's about protecting women. And seeing them as sexual objects or being sexual human beings is not something that most people, especially older generations, mm-hmm. are comfortable with.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, but in a sense, by not letting, and some women see as not letting them express their sexual desires or needs or some whatever you want to say, is in a way disempowering women by letting guys be able to express that, but not women to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a strong word, but I kind of see where she's coming with it, where if you view power as sex or owning your sexuality, yeah, I think, like, by doing the whole rating thing, it is taking that away from them.
I guess it's sort of a outdated view, I think, that women, you know, that women being pleasured is either somehow extraneous to the real sex or not as hot as the real sex or too perverse or out there. Like, this is a pretty mainstream act that's pretty central to most couples having a good time, and this idea that it's just sort of this extra thing that could be cut, whereas the penetration could never be cut in this scene, you know, I don't know. I feel like that's a really outdated way of looking at what sex is. And I think it's just time to move past that.
They still think sex is only considered penetration.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, yeah, everything. But movies, like, because they have to reach such a mass audience, and then you're dealing with, like, the MPA, like, it's a lot of older people, too.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Like, it is an outdated view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, I have to share this with you. So I went to Catholic school, and I think you'll appreciate this. We had, quote-unquote, sex ed in junior high, the most useless thing ever. Mm. And I don't remember many of the details, but this is one that I do remember that was kind of silly to me. It involved, because it got into homosexuality, and it's like, well, man is blah, blah, blah. But it was about spreading of social disease. And the line that the nun who was teaching the class said was, well, when it's two women, it's just, you know, your hand rubbing on something. So there's not really anything that's going to happen.
Oh,
and I'm like,
not if you're not, if you're doing it wrong.
So I was like, Apparently, this nun has not seen the latest in magazines and videos.
So, actually, like, this is part of my bit, but, like, I'll give you guys this little sneak
peek.
But when I came out to my mom, she actually said that, like, this is probably better because girls are cleaner and you can't accidentally get pregnant.
True.
Well, the last part's true.
Well, yeah, that. And then I was like, well, thanks for assuming that I'm a slut. And so, but yeah, she was really, that she thought about it. And she was like, yeah, this is probably better, you know, because girls are supposed to, quote unquote, cleaner. And I know a lot that aren't clean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not from personal experience, just from the rumor mill.
Yeah. Well, no, we would never indict anybody for being unclean. But yeah, and this was another weird thing that happened at one point. I knew a guy who is a closeted gay dude who, I mean, and by closeted, he went to gay bars and so on and so forth, but would never actually say he was gay.
You were at the gay bar?
I didn't go to the gay bar, so I don't know.
Maybe he told you afterwards.
he told
called you. Okay. Sorry.
Anyway, so found out that one of our coworkers had decided to give being a lesbian a try, which by the way, never happens with guys. That's more of a female thing. Like, you know what? Maybe I'll give this lesbian thing a try. There's no guys that are like, maybe I'll try guys for a while.
Wow.
So anyway, he then asks the question, and this blew my mind that you would ask this in polite conversation. And we're on a podcast, so that's completely different. He goes, So what do? Do you like, do they like strap it on? Do they, how do they do it? What are they doing? And I'm like, why are you asking this question? First of all, I mean, why would you, I don't know. Yeah. So obviously his idea of sex was merely penetration.
Yeah.
Of the anus. Anyway. So.
Yeah, no, I get in fights with gay guys about that too. They're like, you guys don't really have sex.
What is done?
Cause like the whole penetration thing.
Oh,
listen,
man.
I've seen a lot of pornography and the movie Chasing Amy, so now I know a little bit about lesbian sex.
And probably know more than I do, actually.
And there is some penetration going on with a variety of things.
Yeah.
Some of them look painful, but
Becca's face.
No, because I've seen Chasing Amy too, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's difficult.
The scene on the swing set, you know
yeah,
what I'm talking
I
about?
Do.
What,
I do.
Oh, well. Okay, well, I'll try and describe it as I actually do what Joey, Laura, and Adams did. And that was the conversation they were having. It's like, oh, well, you're not really having real sex. There's no penetration, you know, maybe a little bit. And he goes, what do you mean? And she then takes one hand and holds it up as though to simulate a vagina with a hole in it. And she takes her other hand.
With a hole in it, that kind of vagina.
The kind of vagina with a hole in it. Takes her other hand, comes up underneath, puts it through between the thumb and forefinger up to the wrist, and then wiggles her fingers around and opens her hand.
It's like the old fisting wave.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she just showed fisting.
With a wave.
With a wave. Oh.
Inside the vagina.
Oh, God, I got to cover all your... I don't know. That's...
Ooh. And he's like, no. And a reaction just goes, yeah, sometimes on special occasions... So
when you're hooking up with, oh, I shouldn't say that. That's mean.
With someone with room for an entire full hand wave.
Who might need that surgery.
Not Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
you need a tightening.
So a Variety critic, speaking of critics, their television critic Brian Lowry let slip a bizarre opinion while reviewing Sarah Silverman's HBO comedy special We Are Miracles, namely that she's a woman and she shouldn't be as dirty as the guys are.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Someone has a double standard for a lady.
His article is called Sarah Silverman's Bad Career Move, Being as Dirty as Guys.
She's... Her bad career move? Like... That's not like a gimmick she just decided to start trying. I mean, that's her whole comedy voice. Yeah.
She's had a TV show, dude.
It's a jab that immediately indicates that it's not raunch that he takes umbrage with, just raunch coming from the mouth of a woman. It quickly goes from bad to worse. Despite all manner of career-friendly gifts, from her looks to solid acting chops, he writes, she's limited herself by appearing determined to prove she can be as dirty and distasteful as the boys. He then turns his ire at New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd, chastising her profile on Silverman as palling around, explaining that for reasons that, like a lot of Dowd's random pop culture-related musings, must have made sense to her. Ultimately, Lowry doesn't actually review the special, choosing to further hammer home his point that due to her chromosomal abnormality of possessing two X chromosomes, that she is too bawdy for his taste. So... Mm. I saw the special, very, very interesting special. I think Sarah Silverman is funny, and I do think that she is a little too raunchy for my taste, but it's not because she's a woman. It's just sometimes the jokes are like, oh, okay, that's a little beyond what I would find amusing, but, I enjoyed the show, the special We Are Miracles, and, she performed a little song. So I thought that would be a good time to sort of share that with everybody.
Is this in tune? Are you a musician? Oh, you should get a haircut. Let's make this real hot and sexy. Nothing but the best for the Largo 39.
That's how many people are in the audience. 39 people where she recorded her special. Oh, wow. Because it's a small Largo, yeah. The small room at Largo.
If you call yourself a diva, you better be a singer and not somebody cutting me in line. Oh, if you call yourself a diva, you better sing a solo and not be someone treating me unkind. If you call yourself a diva, it better be for reals and not some sad, pathetic kind of front. If you're selfish and you're thoughtless and you're broken and you're heartless,
I think I know where this rhyme is going.
You're probably not a diva, you're a cunt.
Oh.
Cunt, 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 cunt.
I'm pretty sure Christiana won't be singing that in the car ride back.
It's catchy.
It is.
Can I get that on my iTunes?
I don't know.
So there. That might have been what pushed him over the edge. I don't know. But that's how she closed the special. So I thought I would share that with people. Because it amused me.
Shoot, I can't get that song. I shouldn't sing that song.
Becca, are you happy you came in a separate car? And she's like, I'm gonna be singing it on the way home too.
No way. I'm listening to Duke Ellington's Take the Christmas Train
okay.
on my CD player in my car.
I'm listening to Take the Country. So. Wow, I feel like I'm sorry. I can't throw this word around. It's not
I usually
correct.
Don't like that word, but the way she did it was just like, it was pretty funny. I knew where the rhyme was going.
Right.
I saw it coming. Mm. And I still laughed.
Yeah.
That props.
Yeah. I mean, she also has rape jokes in the special too. So
she pushes things.
Oh, yeah.
Like Sarah Silverman, she's a pusher.
She is. Now, it was just Thanksgiving last week, and the website sharecare.com came out with the best and worst cities for social networking, like making friends and family and that sort of thing. And here are the 10 best cities, first off, for having a good, strong social network. And we're not talking about Facebook. Number 10, Columbus, Ohio. 9, Oklahoma City. 8, Nashville. 7, Charlotte, North Carolina. 6 was Memphis. 5 was Greenville, South Carolina. 4, Indianapolis. 3, Knoxville. Number 2, Louisville. And the number 1 city was New Orleans, Louisiana.
That makes sense.
All red states.
I've always wanted to live in New Orleans.
Now
it's fun. Well, I didn't live there, but it's fun.
Yeah, Becca loves New Orleans.
Now, here are the 10 worst cities. The worst cities for social ties.
Oh, no.
Number 10, San Diego.
Ooh.
Number 9, Houston, Texas.
Liberals.
Number 8, Las Vegas. Number 7, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Number 6, Austin, Texas. Yeah. Number 5, Seattle. Number 4, L.A. Number 3, Phoenix, Arizona. Number 2, the runner-up for the worst city for social ties, Sacramento,
Sac-town,
California.
Sacktown, Mactown, what's up? No,
Mactown.
No, we're not proud of that. Okay, oh yeah, wrong one, wrong list.
Wait, that's a Sacramento's a Mactown? Sorry.
And the worst city for social ties and interaction is San Francisco.
Mm. What do they use to decide this?
There's a lot of stuff that goes into their survey. It's a little complex. It's an online health and wellness social engagement platform that was founded by Jeff Arnold and Dr. Oz. Factors a strong social network into its real age test. It's a scientifically based assessment that measures the true age of your body. I don't know how that relates to that, but yeah.
Sounds like a bunch of hooey.
Yeah.
It's like red versus blue.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Except Arizona's stuck in there somehow.
Phoenix is pretty cool. I like Phoenix.
Houston would be the one that doesn't really fit with the...
I think they just mixed it in so they can't call it.
Oh, yeah. I think Austin, not Houston.
Right. And that's why they mixed in Columbus, Ohio as well.
Austin's there too. Okay.
I think they mixed up Columbus, Ohio and Houston, Texas. Austin's a very liberal place in Texas, though.
I love Austin.
Well, it's funny because most of those cities are the cities that are like too cool for school, where everybody's moving to like make something of themselves and they're kind of competitive. And I'm like, how did Sacramento get so high on that list of all those other cities? I feel like one of these kids is not like the others.
of the people who can't be social with others.
Yeah.
I don't know. But quick Florida corner for you from Dade City, Florida. One of Pasco County's most outspoken government critics made a political statement last Monday when she paid her $11,075.44 tax bill in $1 bills and 44 pennies.
Ah.
It took several employees more than an hour to count and verify it, according to Pasco County tax collector Mike Fasano. It was correct and down to the penny. So
they can't count to $11,000?
Well, they can, but when you do it one at a time, it takes a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let them have that one. But
Julianne Rowe, a registered libertarian, lives on a 41-acre estate in Dade City valued at $711,000. Her property includes a 4,000-square-foot home with a covered pool, jacuzzi, outdoor fireplace, a detached three-car garage, and horse stables, which are worth another $118,000. The insurance company owner attended multiple public hearings last year to speak against the county budget, which included employee pay raises for the first time in 5 years. She also spoke out against the Pasco County proposal to increase the gas tax, which commissioners defeated, and against the Florida retirement system. She said, and I quote, "I do not feel obligated to pay for any wage increase for any county employee. I do not feel obligated to pay for your retirement either. Save your own money for your own retirement."
Oh, fucking libertarian.
"The public is not your slush fund. Stay within your means because we don't want any more taxes on my 4,000-square-foot home."
I don't want to pay for your sleeping well at night because you think all the Muslims aren't going to kill you, but I'm going to... Well, I don't know if that's how you feel about it. I'm just saying we all pay for shit we don't want to pay for.
It's true.
Well, and not all of us have the Jewish oil connection.
That's true. Yeah. You know, I mean, I love paying taxes, my favorite thing, just like any other good liberal, but no, I'm kidding about that, obviously.
Yeah.
Thanks, lady.
So, anyway, that's Florida Corner. It's a truncated version. And speaking of truncated, let's go to Germany briefly, where a police officer was arrested last Wednesday and accused of killing and chopping up a man he met online. According to authorities, the man he murdered had, quote, long fantasized about being killed and eaten. And who hasn't, really? The 55-year-old handwriting and document analyst identified as Detlef G. was arrested at a criminal technical institute in Dresden. He admitted to stabbing the 59-year-old victim in the throat 4 hours after the two had met in person for the first time. That is a terrible OkCupid date. The victim, who was first reported missing November 11th, had traveled over 250 miles by bus for the murder dinner date. Well, I understand that. If you'd have to go 250 miles back on a bus, I probably would want to
be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm here. Might as well just get it over.
Stab me in the neck.
Don't you think you'd splurge a bit and like go be on a bus to get someplace for your last day alive?
Well, maybe that's all you can afford, Ted.
Okay, I'm being judgmental.
Yeah.
Put on your credit card. Maybe it's not a credit card. I'm sorry. I'm a Jew with a lot of connections. I don't think these things through. I'm sorry.
I think you just hate Germans, and I don't know why.
Ooh.
Oh, wait. No, I do.
Sauerkraut. Damn sauerkraut.
Yeah. I'm hungry.
Witnesses told officers that the missing man had fantasized since his youth about being killed and eaten by another person. This has happened more than once in Germany.
I was just thinking, isn't this story from like 8 years ago?
No.
Wasn't there a story with a guy that put on an ad saying like, I want to eat someone's penis or something? Someone actually was, yeah, okay, so I didn't make that up.
No, that is also from Germany.
Oh.
I want sausage.
This is a thing in Germany. Wiener. And I love how Gawker takes weird stock photos. They have a guy with a police uniform and a cap, and he's licking his finger and has a donut in the other hand.
Gross.
It takes something that's not funny and makes it mildly amusing. So, yeah, Germany's weird.
That's a weird fantasy.
I used to date a German. They are weird people.
You survived.
Barely.
The problem with actually going through with that fantasy as opposed to, like, you know, fake going through with it is that you don't actually get to experience it because the first thing that happens is you die.
Yeah, how much of it do you actually, like, enjoy?
Well, it depends on how much of the afterlife you believe in.
Oh.
If you're really into spirituality and think, oh, when I die, I'm just going to float above my body and see everything that happens and it'll
and
be great.
And then get off? Like...
Yeah, it's a spiritual mental masturbation.
Heavenly orgasms.
Spiritual masturbation. Is that in your non-denominational studies?
Not so far. Well, I do have a sexuality elective coming up in April, so I'll let you know.
I look forward to hearing about it.
Do angels orgasm?
do angels beat off?
That's probably not appropriate.
I don't think that's the... I can't remember now what the title of the class is, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't have to do with angels beating anything other than wings.
No, oh, well.
Is that how they get their wings? Wait.
Oh, these are
can
the
you,
questions.
Can you ask?
Can you write down all your questions and I will ask in April when I take this workshop?
Absolutely.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, it has.
I know, right?
This is one of those podcasts where I have like a shame hangover where I'm like, what the hell did I say?
Why is it always like when I'm on the show, I feel like you say that?
It's like there's sometimes I walk out of here with a literal pain in my chest over the things that I probably overshared. And this is one of those nights. You're welcome, everybody.
Well, I don't find that you overshared very much.
I like it when you overshare, yeah. Especially when you tell your like little stories.
That's why people love you. I told people about the time I was almost killed.
Yeah, but that's like a noble story.
And dealing with a hobo lady.
Oh, yeah. You're the bitch.
I love that line. I want to go get in a fight just so again you say that and then walk away.
I'm like the least confrontational person, but I think it'd be really funny to have a t-shirt that said that.
Well, and to be fair, I also told the story about how I got drunk one night on a Wednesday. Yeah.
A Wednesday?
Yeah, that's not exactly the most noble of stories.
Oh.
Remember the picture of the billboard, Ted?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. And you're like, you texted, what? Like, you commented something and then Nate was like, but it was all like gibberish. Like.
Yeah. That blurry's too, yeah, whatever.
To be fair to me, I was drunk and had an injured hand, which was injured before I was drunk.
It wasn't your fault.
Hey, anyway, it's time for Speak Out.
Yay.
Because that's how you should end. Leash law does not mean allowing your dog on a retractable leash of 25 feet or more to go to the bathroom in my shrubbery near my front lawn.
Bob.
I have your picture, and Bob, if there is a next time, I'll give it to the police.
There's just a tweet at the moment it happens. Come on. Modern society, bitches.
Don't they have tweet out?
You're a bitch. Oh, tweet out.
Dear boss, it's been a very long time since our last raise. Do we really have to ask you for it? Sincerely, the employees who help your business thrive.
Oh.
And this is some passive-aggressive shit. I remember when you first told me about it.
Yep.
Mr. Bob.
Like, you can't just step outside your door and be like, please don't, like, let your dog poop on my lawn. You have to take a picture and then go to speak out and let them know you have the picture. And if they do it again, you will go to a third party.
You know? Wow, it takes passive-aggressiveness to a new level.
Yeah.
So I went to the, and sometimes people take stuff too personally, like this one. So I went to the office for the aging to talk to them about open enrollment. I need a cane since Vietnam. And when I got to the county building, I found the ramp was being rebuilt. Why now?
Oh, because you had an appointment. That's why.
Hey, on November 13th, the Kelly and Michael daytime TV show had a bit with a male stripper on a pole wearing only leather underwear. If that stripper were female, there would be an outcry and talk of sexist pigs running the media.
Oh.
That's true. Hey, it amazes me when small children board the South City bus in the mornings and there are no seats. And these children are left to stand. Adults and college kids don't even bother to give up their seats. That's lack of common courtesy taught to our children is disgusting.
Wait, they're supposed to stand up for little kids?
I thought kids were supposed to give up their seats for older people.
Yeah, I don't know.
After a certain age, I don't know. I mean, I have bad knees. Kids that age most likely don't. They can stand.
I
agree.
So too.
Kids
I
can stand. I'll give up my seat for an older person.
Yeah,
for sure.
Me too, but not a little snot-nosed kid.
Hey, I'm little. I mean, little bonus. Speak out for you.
Oh,
because,
yeah,
we want to do that.
Let's do this.
Hey, this one might be something you would write. Please pray every day, even if you aren't religious. Prayer teaches us patience, gives us hope, and calms the busyness of our lives.
That's like one of the kindest speak outs I've ever heard.
Just, yeah, meditate or pray every day or reflect, something like that. Yeah, I think the word pray really offends people more than it should.
When I heard pray, I was like, I don't do it. What do I do?
Maybe like reflect on what you're grateful for or something like
that. Hey, it's speak outs. That's the best you're going
to
get.
It's pretty good. I'm sorry. I mean,
that really was one of the nicest speak outs there's ever been.
Hey, parents need to understand that their children are not everyone else's responsibility. Take charge of your life and stop whining. If you can't handle the stresses of being a parent, then you shouldn't have kids.
Too late.
Yeah,
for that,
go back. By go the back way. And redo it.
Stick them back in the womb before you get your vagina tightened. Full circle.
Oh, nice.
And
Thank
finally, I will no longer support Republicans. Instead of rolling up their sleeves and working to find a solution to the problems of bringing affordable health care to the majority of Americans, they simply criticize, blame, and try to shoot down any efforts to help Americans in their health care needs.
It's true.
Bill Maher speaking out.
That's right.
It took that person that long to be like, I don't want to support Republicans anymore.
This is it. He crossed a line.
Hey, even liberals write in to speak out every now and then.
Is this Long December?
Yeah, because it's December.
Is it a long December?
Song.
White Friday, White Friday, White Friday, White Friday.
Oh. Hell yeah.
Now that I know what White Friday is, I'm kind of down for it. I love white Christmases. Not like white people Christmases.
Yeah, sure.
Except for white people do it the best so far of what I've noticed.
We all have to have something we're good at, and it's not dancing. So that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thank you again, Diana.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yay.
Thank you for Christiana not showing up again.
Oh.
Nah. Well, she'll be back next week.
Yay.
And so will Diana.
Oh, I'm finally going to meet her?
Gone.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Ted will probably be here, too.
I'm always here. Always here.
I live here, so I'll be here. Yeah. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Be nice to each other. And remember, there's a way to yell bitch. And... get it right, bitch.
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 You're the bitch, bitch.
Yeah, you're the bitch, bitch.
Don't call
you
me a bitch.
You don't know me, bitch.
Hey.
Bitches be cray.
Have a good weekend, bitches. We'll see you next week for another fun Nate Darling Show. Bye.
Peace out, bitch.
Smell of hospitals in winter and the feeling that it's all a lot of oysters, but no. Crowded room to see the way that light is.
attaches to a girl. And it's one more day up in the canyons. And it's one more night in Hollywood. If you think you might come to California, think you should. Talked a little while about the year. I guess the winter makes you laugh a little slower, makes you talk a little lower about the things you could not show her. And it's been a long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than. Times I tried on myself to hold on to these moments as they pass, and it's one more day up in the canyon, and it's one more night in Hollywood. So long since I've seen the ocean, I guess I should.